Morning, church. I hope everybody is well this morning. Before we dive off into the lesson this morning, just a couple of real quick things. First of all, marriage conference, May the 17th. If you have not signed up for it, let me just tell you what. If you want to have a good marriage, you have to sign up for that marriage conference. Not really, but it would help. All right, so we encourage you to sign up for that. You can do so at the welcome kiosk in the back lobby. Also, I want to, Paul asked me to make this comment, and I wasn't in attendance at this event, but I saw the pictures and I saw how awesome it was. Those of you men and women who pitched in and put together the little golf event last Sunday afternoon for our kids, by all accounts, it was phenomenal. And just wonderful, and something that actually people would pay to go to. So that was an interesting comment. It was that good. So thank you for that. Today is Mother's Day, as you already know, and we want to welcome everybody is welcome, but happy Mother's Day to all of our moms, all of our grandmothers, all of our aunts, all of our, as Ralph said, all of the mother figures. If you're a female and you have poured into the life of a younger person, today is Mother's Day, and we're so glad that you are here. Let me ask you this question: How many of you guys have ever had a mommy fail? Any of you ladies ever had a mommy fail? Pictures, right? Where you've had a mommy fail? You know, some of those where you just take that picture and you hope that nobody recognizes that it's your kid later on. Or to me, that looks perfectly normal, right? Right there, that's perfectly normal. And I love that one because she just absolutely does not look sorry at all, does she? Not sorry at all. I love that one. You might recognize that little girl. There's another one there. You might recognize that little boy. All of us have had times in our lives where we just didn't watch the kids like we were supposed to watch them. Maybe things got a little out of hand. Any of you dads ever had any dad fails? Absolutely. And when our twins were coming up, our twins were absolute terrors. And that is not an exaggeration. Well, let me say that a different way. Matthew was an absolute terror. Logan sort of was along for the ride. And I remember when they were about, they were probably about 3 years old, and Lisa had scheduled a mother's night out with some of the other ladies, and she was gone. And so I was voluntold, actually, to watch the kids, these twins. And I had another friend over with me, and we were chit-chatting, watching TV, not watching the kids, and we heard this incredible crash in the kitchen. I mean, it was amazing. It just sounded like the whole world was coming down around us, and we run in there, and the stove is completely... They had opened the stove, the door of the stove, and they were using it as a trampoline. And just come completely out of the wall and on top of them, and miraculously, neither one of them were hurt. And the funny thing, really funny thing about that is that's really there a lot more happened that night, but that's really the only appropriate story that I could tell this morning. Much more happened, I would tell you in private, that some of you probably would really identify with. There is no question whatsoever that being a mother is one of the most difficult tasks that there is. It's one of the hardest jobs ever. And those of us who have been a stand-in mother for somebody else's kids or for our own kids, we're not the mother, we understand how difficult it is. And the trend has not been to reward motherhood, has it? I believe that is a terrible mistake. Over the last couple of weeks, Paul spoke about teachers, and the word that he used, in fact, it was the title of his sermon, was teachers are irreplaceable. And when I think of people that can't be replaced, in addition to teachers, it certainly would be the role of a mother. Our mothers are irreplaceable, aren't they? This morning, for just a few minutes, we're going to go back to the beginning. When I think of people who are irreplaceable, I think of our mothers. And so I want us to look back at the beginning. We're going to go back to Genesis chapter 2, and so please read along with me as God created men and women. The Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all of the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them, and whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh, and the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." One thing that I see is that out of this passage, there's a whole lot in here, but we're just going to focus on one or two things. God chose to make Eve just right for Adam. He made her just right for Adam. Folks here, maybe here, hopefully not, but there are folks all around us who have the wrong idea about the language that is used in this passage. I want you to notice for just a second, we're going to go back to verse 18, but notice the word helper. For those of you who were brought up in the King James Version, what you might see is the phrase, "help meet," right? You grew up with that kind of language. I think this is NIV, NLT also has helper, but it's actually the Hebrew word, and it's E-Z-E-R, and it's pronounced Azer. All right, so where you see this passage translated into the English language, the Lord God said, "It is not good for man to be alone. I will make him an Azer, or a helper suitable for him." Or if you're reading from one of the older versions, like the King James Version, you might read, "help meet." Now I wonder how many women have gotten the idea that they were expected just to be there to serve their husbands. And I wonder how many men in our culture have gotten the idea that their wives are only there to serve them. Here's something that might help us see this in a little bit from a little bit of a different perspective. I want you to read these with me. Both of these are from Psalms. The psalmist says, "We put our hope in the Lord. He is our help and our shield." That's from Psalm 33, verse 20. And then the second one is, "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." You probably recognize that from a song that's really popular. "Where does my help come from? Comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." That's a real popular song. We love that song. And in both of those passages, he says, "My help is from the Lord." Now, those two passages and the passage from Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, "It's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him." What is the common denominator in those three passages? Anybody recognize it? Let me just throw it up on the screen there for you. We put our hope in the Lord, for he is our Azer. Help. Psalm 121, 2. "My help," or "my Azer," comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And then God said in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, "I will make an Azer," or a helper. You see where I'm going with this? The very same word that is used, that God uses to refer to this incredible gift that he gave Adam, this incredible gift that he gave mankind, all right? A woman, a wife, a mother, a sister, a grandmother, an aunt. As sometimes people would say, those of the female persuasion. It's the same word that God uses to describe the help that he provides us. Isn't that incredible? Guys, if you ever read that passage and you looked at your wife or you looked at women, at all the women in our society and looked at them, and you took that phrase, help meet, and you interpreted that in your own head, or maybe you were taught that by your father or someone else, that woman was just supposed to be your servant, you got the wrong idea. How many of us need God's help? Come on, raise your hand. You need God's help? Everybody need God's help? Why? Why do you need God's help? Because you can't do it without Him, right? You can't do it without Him. All right, so God says, I'm going to bless you with my supernatural help. And God looked at us men, and He said, you guys need my supernatural help too. I'm going to bless you with the women in your life. And God sees them as an azer, as a help. Just as God's help is to us. So, do we need the women in our lives? Men, do we need the women in our lives? Can I hear an amen? Absolutely. Why? Because we can't do it without them. Guys, turn to your wives and say, I can't do it without you. Come on, tell them. We cannot do it without them. So, what role did God intend for the wife or the mother to be in our lives? They're a help to us in the same way that God is a help to us. They really are irreplaceable. One of the hardest things that I ever did was get kids dressed. That's a horrible thing, isn't it? Wives, have any of y'all ever actually feared what your husband was going to dress your kids in? Huh? Mine did. I mean, when she would go away out of town or something, I remember one time she put all the clothes in big Ziploc bags. And they're like, this one is labeled for Monday. And I look at that and I'm like, you don't trust me? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You better put these kids in these clothes. Women, our wives, our mothers are irreplaceable. How many of y'all have heard of George Barna? Does lots of statistics. He's done some studies of practicing Christians in the home. And it's found, I want you to just think about some of these. George Barna writes, and this is recent, this is 2019, that mothers, more often than not, are seen as the confidants, the providers of support, and the drivers of faith formation. And that mothers are still meeting a range of needs and providing support for their grown children and grandchildren. He also wrote that 63% of teens say that their moms are their foremost partners in prayer. And that over 70% of teens say their moms are their go-to partners for conversations about God, the Bible, and other faith questions. Now, folks, if that is the reality, all right, if that is the reality of what motherhood is like and what it is all about and what is taking place, the reality of what is taking place in our homes, can you see the importance of their role in the family? And can we elevate our understanding of the deep spiritual helpmeet or helper that God provided them to be? There is a special place in the family that only a mother can fill. And they already have an honored place according to God. So I want to ask you today, how do you honor the women in your life? How do you honor them? A couple of weeks ago, I asked on our our Facebook page. What is meaningful to you mothers? Okay, I asked that question. A lot of you women responded on that as far as what is meaningful, how does your family show their appreciation to you? The answers were really insightful. Ladies, it would be entirely appropriate for you to say amen if you agree with any of these. Spend time with me. Share your thoughts, joys, and fears. Ask for my help or advice. Thank me for doing things that are typically expected. Laundry, cooking meals. I do them because I love you. Teach the kids to thank me. Ask me, what can we do for you today? Thank me for simple stuff. Act like I raised you to act. I like that one. Give me a hug. Older kids, help with the younger ones. I really like this one. Fold some laundry. Kids, if you want to show your mom you appreciate her, go home and fold some laundry today. Don't forget to say, thanks, Mom. Call me. Tell me you love me. Let me take a shower without an audience. Spend some time with me. Open the door for me. Use your manners. Acknowledge God in your lives. Move out when you're old enough. I won't tell you who wrote that. The little things are the most important. Moms, we thank you today. You were designed by God to fill a role that is more necessary than you might have ever thought. You are truly irreplaceable. Now, if all of that is true, and if that is the reality of the place in our families that our mothers hold, many of us today who are in Christ probably wouldn't be in Christ were it not for the women in our lives and their efforts. And so this morning, As we wind our lesson to a close, if you're not in Christ today, it's probably not because of a lack of effort of the women in your life, but we know that we must make the choice. We must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We must repent of the sin that separates us from God and be baptized, having our sins washed away. And all of that is because of the free gift of Jesus. And maybe the choice that you need to make today is simply to come home, back into the arms of Jesus. One of the great things about mamas is that you can always come home, right? And we have a Heavenly Father that way. We can always come home. Please come if you have a spiritual need this morning as we sing.